Hello, and welcome to the CARA podcast, Knowledge Base Live. This episode is an introduction into your associations, as well as offering their own wisdom. I'm your host, Connor Lee, and if this episode has you wanting to learn a little bit more, you can visit our Knowledge Base for regular updates and to take a look at our new Deep Dive series, where we ask a little bit more in-depth questions about the associations and their services. To answer some of my questions today, we have a guest from the Real Estate Council of Alberta, or RECA for short. Joining me is Christian Tsernov. He is a Regulatory Compliance Advisor with RECA. Thanks for coming, and we appreciate you coming to chat with us today about the association.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So this is sort of like the Meet RECA episode. So for those who may not be aware, can you tell us a little bit about what RECA is?
Absolutely. RECA is the body that regulates the real estate industry in Alberta. So RECA's mission is to create consumer trust and confidence in the real estate industry by setting and enforcing standards of conduct and professional development requirements for licensees, providing services that enhance and improve the industry, promoting the integrity of the industry, and protecting, investigating, detecting, and suppressing mortgage fraud as it relates to the industry.
Oh, wow. So there's tons of different things that RECA seems to have a lot of hats on, I'm thinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we do.
So you provide those services and stuff just for licensees, or do you guys assist members of the public as well?
Yeah, so one of the most important functions I think that RECA provides to members of the public, the consumers, is the fact that RECA investigates complaints levied by members of the public about licensees. So if your real estate agent has done something wrong, or you feel they've not represented you correctly, we would step in and investigate their activity. I think that's a really important part. I guess I can break it down internally. The operational units that provide services to licensees would include information services. They're essentially information officers, and they're available to licensees and consumers as well to answer questions about the rules, advertising, residential measurement standards, consumer relationships, and just anything to do with regulation. They can also assist, like I said, consumers, members of the public, with questions that they have about filing a complaint or about whether or not the activities of their licensee are in accordance with the statute. Internally, we also do have licensing services. That is the unit that deals with licensees when they have to renew their licenses. There's also an internal department that helps licensees if they have issues with MyRECA. That's the portal that they use to provide RECA with information, renew their license, update their trust account information, and so forth. And then the final, I guess, unit that deals with, that helps licensees would be the credentialing support service. And they're also, in a way, servicing consumers as well. They provide information on education providers. They also provide information on pre-licensing requirements in terms of what criteria you need to meet before you can actually get licensed. So those are kind of the big internal units that help. I would also say that from a consumer protection standpoint, RECA does assist by setting the standards for practitioners in the real estate industry and ensuring the suitability of character for individuals that enter into the industry. So we protect the public by making sure that the licensees are vetted thoroughly and meet the necessary standards. There's also, I'm going on quite a bit here, but there's also, they administer the Consumer Protection Fund. So there is, all licensees are protected by an insurance exchange. So the RECA internal staff help support the administration of that Consumer Protection Fund.
Okay, yeah. Well, so that kind of highlights, I guess, like a bunch of the various different operations and services that RECA has. We'll definitely get into the specialization of a couple of them, specifically with like education and advocacy as well. We want to make sure everybody's all informed about the cornucopia of services that they can provide there. I did see on the website that RECA itself is self-regulated. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that is and how it's achieved?
Absolutely. So the Real Estate Act gives RECA the authority to regulate the real estate industry. Essentially, RECA is the mechanism through which self-regulation occurs. Because RECA is not technically part of the provincial government, the regulation that takes place is considered to be self-regulated. Although in the most recent iteration of the Real Estate Act, there were some changes that whereby the Minister of Service Alberta was granted powers to ensure that the board and the industry councils are meeting the mandate as set out in the act. So there is some oversight from government, but a lot of the decisions internally are initially conceived and arrived at by industry councils and the board, and then the minister obviously has oversight if their office feels the decisions do not align with the direction they want the real estate industry to take.
Okay. You mentioned industry councils. Is that like, do they make one for each a specific issue, or is there a number of them?
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened when the changes to the Real Estate Act came into force was that previously there was one Real Estate Council of Alberta. Now there are four separate industry councils and an overarching board that oversees the councils. So the structure has been changed. Previously, there used to be one Real Estate Council, and then there would be subcommittees formed by the council. But this way, it's a little bit more structured because that format is actually in the statute. So it provides a little more certainty that that will be continued on in the future. So the four individual councils are the Residential Real Estate Council, the Commercial Real Estate Council. I guess it's Commercial Real Estate and Commercial Property Management, which are both under one. There's the Residential Property Managers Industry Council, which is separate from the commercials, as you heard. And then there's also the Mortgage Brokers Industry Council. Each council is comprised of two members of the public, which are appointed by the Minister of Service Alberta, and three licensees from the particular sector, which are elected by licensees from that sector.
Okay, so the members from the board, they would be elected and not just appointed?
There are members on the board that are also appointed. So the board has seven members. Four of those members sit both on the board and on one of the industry councils. So there's an overlap, and then there's three additional members on the board that are members of the public. I think in the previous iteration of the way the council was structured, there wasn't as much public representation. And from a stakeholder engagement standpoint, it makes sense to have more public representation on the council to get, even though we do quite a bit of a stakeholder engagement, it's always good to have those individuals on the actual board and councils to provide input.
That definitely makes sense. So I guess with those councils then, are they specifically responsible for, say, creating or amending rules and policies related to that industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the Real Estate Act, that's a great place to get more information in terms of what the individual components of RECA do. But the industry councils, their purpose is set out in Section 7.1, and it's to set and enforce standards of conduct for licensees and the business of licensees in order to protect consumers and promote the integrity of the industry. They also administer the Real Estate Act, the regulations and the bylaws and the rules. So each council does have the ability to establish rules. However, the way it's structured right now, even though each council can establish their own rules, they do need approval from the board. And then ultimately, if you look at Section 12 of the Act, you will see that there's also a requirement for the minister to approve any new rules or changes.
Okay, so it's not just as simple as somebody changing a rule there. There's a lot going on when something warrants a potential rule change by RECA?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a formal, I guess I can't say necessarily that it's formal because it's not in the statute, but there is a process internally that we go through in order to ensure there's adequate stakeholder engagement, consultation with members of the public. If there's a proposed rule change, a lot of times what happens is when the industry council meet, information is moved up the chain either through members internally at RECA or individuals from the outside, licensees or members of the public, provide information in terms of suggestions, what rules are not functioning correctly, what needs to be changed. And then that goes all the way up to the industry councils. They decide whether or not this needs more investigations. A lot of times they'll engage people internally at RECA to do more work, either a legal counsel or one of the regulatory compliance advisors or other resources internally to determine whether or not the suggested rule change is actually worth exploring. And there's a very involved process. A lot of that information is on our website if people are interested. If they want to contact us directly, we can also provide them more insight into that process.
Okay. And so is RECA directly involved with these types of consultations as well, or is it specifically just the industry councils that are part of the decision-making process? For example, would somebody from the Commercial Industry Council have any deciding factor in the Residential Council's vote or something similar?
No. So that's a really good point. So under the previous structure, there was only one set of rules. And the way they were structured in the past, there was an actual division within the rules for individual industries. But the way it works now, and essentially the old council could make changes to all of them, but the way it works now, if a rule is focused specifically on, let's say, the commercial sector, it would be the Commercial Industry Council that would have to devise the rule change, then it would flow up to the board, and then final approval from the minister. So it is specific. One thing that I think it's important for me to say now is that the rules are going to be reviewed from beginning to end as a consequence of the changes to the Real Estate Act. So over the next 2 years, RECA's undertaking that initiative. The entire rules are up for review. So all your members, licensees, if they have certain issues with a particular rule, or they would like to see certain things change within the industry, definitely let us know. There's going to be a lot of stakeholder engagement that's going to be happening over the next 2 years, but I think that they should feel that they have the ability to contact us as well directly with any changes that they want to see. So my two cents on that. If there's anything in the industry you're not happy with, you want changes, please let us know. Like I said, nothing's off the table here. The entire set of the rules are being reviewed.
Yeah, so in the next 2 years, this is your chance to get your opinion heard and get your voice heard as well by Rika. Make sure that if you are having difficulty or you disagree with a rule, just make it known, because otherwise they're not going to know.
Absolutely. And what I'll say is that my experience has been that every suggestion is thoroughly vetted. There are no suggestions that are thrown out. Unfortunately, one thing to keep in mind is that just because you have a suggestion, it doesn't mean that it will align with people in the industry council, so that it will actually be the uptake that you think there will be. Obviously, it's a majority decision, and sometimes, although you might think it's a good change, it might not be seen like that by other people. So just to keep that expectation in mind. But yeah, like I said, anything, even the licensing structure is on the table, so feel free to suggest anything that you feel would be worth exploring.
Well, thank you. That is some good information. Using that, I guess, as a nice segue then, licensing is a very important part of being a real estate agent. So would you say that Rika is the starting point for all aspiring new realtors?
I would say that, yeah, Rika has a great set of information. Our website is quite involved. There's definitely a lot of information there. So it's a great place to start. Rika no longer provides education, or I guess there's a few courses that we're still continuing to provide, but the education divestment project is almost complete. And once there's enough third-party providers for all of the individual licenses, then there will be no provision of education from Rika. All we do is create the exam and administer the exam, and even the administration is done via third party. So there's definitely a lot of other great resources out there. The various boards, their websites are great. The association has a very good website. And then also, if you're new, if you're looking to get into the industry, you can come to Rika's website to see the approved course providers. But then I also suggest you go on the course providers' websites to get an idea of the course, the delivery method they're providing, just to be aware.
Right. So Rika does vet them as well. But there's a chance that every third-party provider might have a slightly different course. So depending on what you're looking into, it might be more beneficial to take one over the other. So Rika doesn't really directly teach those education courses. They just vet and approve third-party providers.
Absolutely. Like I said, we're going through the education divestment process. Third-party providers are available for the vast majority of the courses, but there's some more niche sectors that are still working on developing courses. So we are continuing to provide education for those courses, but as soon as there's sufficient third-party providers for those, we will divest entirely.
So there's quite a bit to know about what Rika does and doesn't do. So from what I'm gathering, it's a lot to take in, sort of like with licensing, education, member advocacy, tons of different tools that they can use, such as measurement standards, even industry guides and tools. There's tons of different resources available. Regardless of my membership status, though, all of that information is available to me on the website?
Yes. So like again, the mandate that's set up in the act is to protect consumers and ensure the integrity of the real estate industry. So we deal with members of the public quite often. If they have concerns about licensees, that's one of the most direct points of contact with them. But if they have questions also about what the process is on purchasing a house, on any questions of that nature, our information service officers can help. But the majority, I think, of interactions that Rika has is with licensees, given the size of the license base. And just recently, we also took over condominium managers. So those have been, there's been a lot of touch points with condo owners. They feel that Rika can step in and provide protection for them if they're having issues with the board. Unfortunately, in those circumstances, a lot of the complaints that are coming in are not necessarily within the purview of Rika's mandate, given that we do not regulate boards, obviously only the condo managers. And if you have issues with your condo board, there's not as much Rika can do, more so if there's issues with the condo managers.
That makes sense. So they basically are open to taking calls and emails from anyone who wants to inquire about their resources and publications on the site?
Absolutely.
Well, without getting, I guess, too much into detail about the licensing, because we will have a deep dive episode on that, would you say that the membership has increased over the years, or say decreased over the years?
I would say that there has been certainly an increase in the last, I've been at RECA for 4 years now, so there has been a clear increase in the license base. I think a big part of that was the fact that the Alberta government required RECA to start regulating the condominium managers, and that was an additional, I think, around 600 licensees, and then there's also brokers and brokerages, so the license base grew from that. We did previously regulate real estate appraisers, which are now no longer our purview. So there was a loss there. But I think the market the past few years has been quite robust. And as a consequence of that, there's been a lot of new entrants into the real estate sector specifically, and mortgage as well. But there has been a growth in the license base.
Well, that's good. Typically, if there's a lot more licensees or a lot more types of licenses going around, you can kind of expand your options. And in that case, I guess your career at that point, if you're trading in real estate. Because if I'm going to be learning, let's say I have residential and I want to go for commercial, I would be able to do that through RECA as well.
Yes, absolutely. What you would want to do now, though, is that both of those courses do have third-party providers. So you would sign up, or you would pick a third-party provider. And one thing to mention is that we do provide pass rates for the various third-party providers that can kind of help you determine whether or not you want to go with one provider over another. Keep in mind, too, that we also do not set the pricing, so certain third-party providers are going to have better prices than others. So that's also something that you should factor into your decision. But yeah, absolutely. If you want to get a commercial license, definitely we would be able to assist with that.
Perfect. And yeah, we'll get into more of the licensing stuff when we get into our licensing deep dive. But thank you for kind of giving me an overview of what RECA is and some of the services that they provide. When we get into the more deeper stuff, we're going to get into, again, the licensing, education, measurements, and even advocacy for members, like the complaint process and everything like that. But as we keep heading into the later end of 2022, always remember to stay safe, keep calm, and care out.